to remain standing to honor the reading of our gospel lesson this morning. A reading from the gospel according to John, chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. Hear the word of God. Jesus says, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the word of God for the people of God." You may be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, be present with us in the preaching of your word, that we may hear among these words and our reflections your word offered for each one of us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Erin Fallon shared with me the story of being 14 years old and on a mission trip with her church youth group to the Philippines. An hour after they took off on their flight home, she noticed the flight attendant look out the window and then start moving very rapidly to the cockpit. Shortly after, there was an announcement that they would be turning around because of technical issues. It turns out that an 18-inch hole had been blown in the wing on takeoff. And as you can imagine, this was a terribly frightening experience, but they were able to land safely. After Anne finally got home, she was talking with her grandparents in Denver about what had happened. And as she was sharing the story, they started looking at each other. And they asked what time this airplane incident had happened. And Anne said it had been about 2 a.m. Denver time. And the grandmother shared that she had woken her grandfather up from a dead sleep and told him they needed to be praying for those kids, that she just knew in her heart that something was going on. Guess what time that was? 2 a.m. Denver time. Has your life been shaped by the experience of being prayed for? Today is Mother's Day, and I know a lot of moms do a lot of praying in their lives. Sometimes the prayers are about the opportunity to be a mom. A couple of weeks ago, we shared in the baptism of Henry Sparks. Henry's parents, Jake and Julie, went through years and years of prayers for him as they were struggling with infertility. And there weren't many of us who knew of all that they were going through. Infertility, miscarriages, are two of those often silent struggles that many people face. For those of us who did know what Jake and Julie had been through, we shed some extra tears that day. Watching Henry's face, watching Jake and Julie as we celebrated and blessed him as a child of God. That's one of the reasons I'm always mindful on Mother's Day that not everyone approaches Mother's Day with joy. I imagine there are some who are even tempted to stay away from church on that day. Maybe they're grieving a death. Maybe they're struggling because of an unhealthy relationship with their mother or with a child. Maybe they've always wanted to be a mother, but it has not been possible for whatever reason. So when I offer a Mother's Day prayer, I'm always keeping those folks close to my heart, praying for God's presence to touch them, to protect them. In many ways, that's the kind of prayer we're experiencing in our scripture lesson for today. Jesus is offering a prayer to the Father God, but it's not a prayer for himself or for his needs. It's a prayer for us. And when I say us, I literally mean us. There are a lot of times we hear Jesus talking about and with the disciples, and even though we try to put ourselves in their shoes and imagine that what he is saying is directed to us, that's not really the case. But we don't have to make any kind of leap of interpretation here. In the verse right after the section I read, Jesus says, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me because of their word." That's us. So what is Jesus praying about? For us. One of his main concerns is that he knows life is very hard. He speaks often of the world, the perils of the world, how the world has a hatred for those who seek to follow Jesus, how the world seeks to destroy everything they are about. So why isn't Jesus praying to take us out of the world? Why isn't Jesus asking his Father God to help us escape from the pain of the world? Isn't that often how we pray, both for ourselves and for others? Dear God, take away my pain. Dear God, cure this person I love of cancer. Dear God, please get that person out of my life. There's something very tempting about escaping from the world and all of its pain. Travel agents, the tourist industry, even real estate agents know of that temptation. They tell us about luxury cruises. They encourage us to have that second home at the beach or in the mountains. They show us a gated community, all with the intent of trying to help us get away from it all. Those of us who are a little older in this room probably remember those bath soap ads. Calgon, take me away. But that's not Jesus' prayer for us. No. Jesus says, I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. Sanctify them in the truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And when you think about it, how could Jesus have any other kind of prayer? After all, and he reminds us of this as he prays as well, God loves the world. We say that every time we say probably the most well-known Bible verse for Christians. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. John 3:16. But many times we forget what it means to go on to verse 17. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Just as it is tempting to pray to escape from the pain of this world, it is also tempting for our prayers and our actions to reflect our judgment of the world. And our faith itself may even intensify that desire and temptation. As we experience, as we seek to practice what is holy and what is good, we run more and more up against what is not. And it can be easy for our eyes to focus on all that we see as wrong. When we come up against hatred, when we see people who are hurting others, when we don't understand how people can behave like they do, it can be very easy for us to start looking down on others and to start condemning others. If they would just be like us. If they would only think like us. And the world, especially the one we are living in right now, certainly encourages that type of behavior. There's us, and there's them. There's those who think what we do, and there's those who don't. There's those on the right, and there's those on the left. And the one can't mix with the other, and certainly cannot listen to the other. In every conversation, in response to everything we see that is going on in the world, there's your interpretation, and there's mine. And if we're not on the same page, you're not even worth talking to. Or even more forcefully, you may not even be worth being part of my community. How many times do we hear things like that these days? If you don't support this, well, maybe you should just go live somewhere else. If you don't fit this image, we don't want you here. Now, while it can be very tempting to fall into that trap, that way of thinking stands in direct contradiction to how Jesus operates and prays. In the face of those who hated him, Jesus loved. In the presence of those who were viewed by the religious establishment as being unworthy, Jesus loved. In conversations with those who wanted him to be clear about what is right and what is wrong, Jesus loved. And as Jesus prays for us to be able to carry on his work in the world, he reminds us Christians are in the world not to condemn the world, but to love the world. And to love everyone in it, even our enemies, even those who stand in direct contradiction to what we believe and cherish. When Jesus prays for us to be sanctified, it's very different from how we usually talk about sanctification. We talk about sanctification as being holy, but it's really easy for us to jump from there to being holier than thou. But holiness is not about being better than others, or being pure, or beyond blemish. Holiness is about being set apart. it's about being called for a special purpose. And as Jesus reminds us, that purpose is to love the world. And God loves the world. We kind of get a sense of this in our United Methodist understanding of the water that we use when we baptize. Over the years, there have been folks who've been very excited to bring water from a trip they've taken to the Holy Land to be used for a baptism. And there's something kind of cool about having a sample of water from the place where Jesus himself was baptized. But I try to remind them that you really don't need any kind of special water for baptism. In fact, if you have been to the Holy Land, you probably know that the water in the Jordan is not very clean water, especially with all those tourists splashing around in it. What makes the water for baptism holy is not that it's fresher or cleaner or more pure. No. We call the water that we use for baptism holy because it is simply set apart for a special purpose. And in some ways, it really makes it even more holy because God is able to take something very everyday, very ordinary, like water, and it can serve as a constant, as a regular reminder of how we are loved and how we are claimed by God. So what does it mean to you that Jesus is praying for you? What do you want Jesus to be praying for in your life right now? Do you need him to pray for patience with a situation that doesn't have an easy answer? Do you need him to pray for encouragement as you know in your heart something you need to do, but you're looking for courage to do it? Do you need him to pray for you to be able to forgive someone because your anger and your bitterness is eating away at your heart and your soul? Are you looking for healing of a part of your life? Think about what it means Jesus is praying for you. Jesus' prayer, as we witness here, is that we might find God's support and encouragement. Jesus' prayer is that we will be in fellowship with one another and with God. Jesus' prayer is that we will find the strength and the courage to face the challenges that come from being in our world and trying to bear witness. Jesus' prayer is that we will be able to love as God loves us. Bess Trexler, who pastors Green Meadow United Methodist Church, offered his own reflections about one way to maybe think about Jesus praying for us. He says he's often asked, if God can control all things, why does God not do something about war, about disease, about famine, and the list can go on and on? Buzz says he has learned to respond, I don't know the answer to that question, but maybe God wants us to do something about war and about disease and about famine and about whatever else we face in the world that is a challenge to the way God loves. As you walk in this world, as you live with its challenges, as you face all that threatens to tear down your spirit, I invite you to remember Jesus is praying for you. He wants you to know that. He gave his life for you to be able to experience that. In the very essence of all that he is and all that he longs for is this truth. His love for you is real and is right. And his love makes all the difference in the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, we lay before you all that is on our hearts and in our spirits. You know our needs. You know the challenges we face. You know the ways we've strayed from what your love means. We know it. Our prayer is that you help us remember that you are praying for us. You know each one of us so well. You know what we need, and you are praying for us. Help us to remember that and take that as power and as courage and as responsibility and as promise. It makes all the difference to know of your prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand.